Vision Casting Leaders in the Church, Differences Between Men and Women, Naturalism, Biblical Archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
The assassin came for me. 10 Jews will be crucified every day until I have the man who tried to kill me.
His name and where to find him.
If I found you, they will find you.
His name is God. No one is safe.
There is someone. There are people who can forgive my sins.
Who's evil?
The signboard.
Run.
What's in your heart, Ananias, to make you lie to the Holy Spirit?
When you and your husband sold your house, did you keep anything back for yourselves?
I keep something, but what does that matter?
You've lied, not just to us, but to God.
That's a little touch of the fourth episode of AD, The Bible Continues, the television miniseries that's running after Easter, 12 parts of it. We're in the fourth part now, and we've noted already with our regular guest, Pastor Ted Giese, that there are some speculations in this miniseries. There are some things that actually contradict what the Bible has to say, and there's a lot of omissions. I'm wondering if these are piling up bigger than the actual biblical material. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to continue our review, episode 4 of the TV miniseries, AD, The Bible Continues, with Pastor Ted Giese here in the first half hour. A little bit later, our regular series, Responding to Evangelical Proof Texts, will take up a passage from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, I never knew you, in the course of, telling a parable. And then the conclusion is often drawn that there are Christians that, well, they know Jesus, but maybe he doesn't know them. You need to know, not just know, but really know Jesus to be a true Christian. There might be some Christians who are, well, Jesus might say to them on the last day, I never knew you. That's how evangelicals sometimes mistakenly read it. We'll correct that with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Then, in hour two, looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the historic lectionary, Pastor David Peterson will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners can use the Issues Etc. comment line anytime, anyplace, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review episode 4 of the TV miniseries, AD, The Bible Continues, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You've talked here about, and we've talked about it many times, contradictions. Those are rather easy to spot in the miniseries between this miniseries and the biblical material it's allegedly based on. Speculations and then some glaring omissions. Is this stuff piling up? Is the accumulated speculations, omissions, and contradictions getting bigger than the actual biblical material by episode 4 of AD, The Bible Continues?
This episode, again, it's about 45 minutes long, and they cover one, pretty much just one chapter of the book of Acts. So they kind of cover through chapter 4 through to verse 11 of chapter 5. And there's a lot of extra stuff in this that doesn't need to be there. I'd probably say lots of it doesn't need to be there. When you're tracking along that part of Scripture, the thing that piles up, I guess, is all the stuff with Pilate that they've got in this episode, because Pilate kind of drops off as a character in the scriptural account by this point. We don't have a lot of stuff with Pilate, and yet he takes up quite a bit of this episode.
And in this episode, I take it they're not just taking liberties by adding the additional material on Pilate. They are kind of making up a little history here, an alleged assassination plot. Pilate kind of gets, you say, unhinged to almost a Jack Nicholson in The Shining degree.
Yeah, and the notes that I sent you, I mentioned that. What happens is that there's an assassination attempt, and that was in episode 3 on the day of Pentecost. And afterwards, now he's trying to get to the bottom of this. So in this episode, episode 4, he spends a considerable amount of his personal time brooding over all of this, particularly because in the midst of that assassination attempt, there was one of the soldiers in one of the Roman cohorts who was killed by this zealot that they find out his name is Boaz. And now that that guy has been cremated, this Roman soldier, and he has his cremains, Pilate does, in his office. So he spends a lot of time sifting through the guy's cremains, like literally pouring it out on his desk and, like, you know, shaping it into the form of a little guy and, like, turning it into, like, making it look like a cross. And he wants to get the murderer of this assassination attempt, the attempted assassin. He wants to find this guy. And what he's done is every day, 10 Jewish young men are crucified until he finds them. And this makes up kind of like one of the additional plot lines of the episode, even to the point where when Caiaphas comes and tries to plead to not have this continue, he takes some of the cremains and forces Caiaphas to eat it in his presence, puts him on his knees and forces him to eat it. This is totally in the fictional speculative end of things. Like, this is not an episode from Scripture. And the problem is that, I was watching this with my wife and we're going through it, and she, like, not that, because she knew that that part wasn't something that happened, but there were little parts where, you know, it's like, well, is that part in the book of Acts or not? And what I would say to anybody watching this, and I hope they're already doing it, is, you know, beforehand, read a verse or a chapter or two ahead in Acts, and then afterwards, read over the section that they covered and really see firsthand from Scripture itself what is in the text of Scripture, and you'll be able to see pretty quickly the parts that aren't.
So let's talk a little bit about, this all kind of boils together into a big stew, the story that they're telling. They're obviously trying to focus in on a few little chapters here, as you said, pretty short sections of chapters. But are they still telling the story of the Acts of the Apostles, of the growth of the church, of all of those things that are central to Luke's second book?
The three things that they cover in this episode is they cover Peter and John before Caiaphas and the elders of the people being asked about, kind of tried about the lame beggar who's been made to walk in Jesus' name. That they cover that. Then they cover the believers all kind of getting, like, selling property and all kind of going in together and, like, forming this new community. And then connected to that, you meet Barnabas, you meet Stephen, and then also you have Ananias and Sapphira, the two that hold back some of the proceeds of selling their property, and then they die. Those are the scriptural things that they cover. To what degree they cover them, that story's there. And they did briefly cover baptism. Like we'd mentioned that the baptizing of the 3,000 didn't happen in the previous episode, and they do touch momentarily on that with some positive and negative things in there. But they still, like, for instance, they didn't cover whatever happened with replacing Judas. That didn't get covered. So there's certain storylines that, and they didn't ever return back to Peter's Pentecost Day sermon. So there's certain things that they just kind of passed by as they went, and then the things that they are telling. So yeah, they are telling the story, but it's in bits and pieces, the backbone's there, and there's bones missing out of the rest of the body, if you know what I mean.
The account of Ananias and Sapphira, it's the first dark note that is struck for the church, because the church is presented as very idyllic up to that point in the book of Acts, and then we discover, yeah, the church is full of sinners too. And the Holy Spirit doesn't like to be lied to. Do they get that story right? Do they? Because there's a lot of ways you can get that one wrong if you're not careful.
Well, the text of Scripture just says that they breathed their last. It happens first to the husband and then to the wife. And she's really kind of, like, they're both given a shot at, like, you're repenting. If either of them had, like, were just repented, then they would have been forgiven, I'm sure. But in these cases, they didn't. So it just, in the text of Scripture, just says they breathe their last. So that is maybe not that terribly dramatic, you know? So what they do with this is, you know, like, there's blood pouring out of their eyes and out of their nose and out of their mouths. Like, that's a speculative addition. Like, the Scripture just says that they breathed their last. Apart from that, I mean, it does... You know, Peter is talking to them about lying to God, like lying to the Holy Spirit. I guess maybe just like the thing about the Holy Spirit in this is that they do this thing, and I don't know if they're going to continue doing it all the way through the entire rest of the miniseries, but every time the Holy Spirit is seen to be acting, there's this little kind of wind that blows and tousles everyone's hair and stuff, which is okay, like... But then they do it, like, over and over and over and over again, and it starts to get kind of cheesy, like, and I don't know. Maybe I'm being too hard on it, but I look at that and I think, So there are ways that they're doing it that they're covering the story in some ways, but they're missing some key things. That particular story of holding back the funds, apart from the eyes bleeding and that kind of stuff, that's done relatively well. The one that has the biggest glaring omission in it is Peter and John before Caiaphas and the elders of the people.
I'm intrigued by this kind of wind machine Holy Spirit. I mean, there are two things there, Ted. I mean, one of them is that, yes, there is the sound of a mighty rushing wind when the Holy Spirit is first given. And so I can see taking a little license there. But what I'm concerned about is that it is kind of this, well, we know the Holy Spirit's working because we felt the breeze, kind of a thing, which a lot of Christians would just love to have. You know, we know the Holy Spirit's working because I saw, you know, someone's hair being blown like Beyonce or something. When in fact the Holy Spirit is located pretty firmly in his word in the book of Acts, not so much in these little signs and kind of clever devices, gimmicks, if you will.
Yeah, and that leads us back to the glaring omission from Peter and John when they're in front of Caiaphas. So the thing that's missing, and like they're being asked about this beggar, and the part that's missing out of what Peter says. So if you go look at the text of Scripture, the part that's missing in the miniseries is this line. Peter says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That's the line that's missing. So if you're looking for where the Holy Spirit would be working in the midst of the text of Scripture, in the Word of God, that would be the spot in what Peter is saying, not in some, you know, wind machine making his hair flip around. So that's one of those moments right there.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing episode 4 of AD The Bible Continues on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 28th. When we come back, we'll delve a little bit more into the story that is being told there. You wonder how far you can creep from the story, how many additions you make, plot lines you introduce that need to be wrapped up, that by the end of 12 episodes, you might not have a story that resembles the book of Acts in any real substantive, much less theological way. We'll get into that after this. Why did Frederick III risk his realm of Saxony to protect Martin Luther and the developing reforms of the church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Frederick the Wise, Seen and Unseen Lives of Martin Luther's Protector. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Frederick the Wise by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Frederick the Wise.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing episode 4 of the TV miniseries AD The Bible Continues. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. We are getting toward the summer months. That means if you've got a child or a grandchild that's been off at college or university, they're going to be coming home. And they might come home a different person in some ways than the one that they left, especially if their first time off to the classroom of higher education. They might have encountered ideas there that they were only tangentially aware of before. They might have even adopted some of those ideas that may trouble you as a Christian parent or grandparent. That's why LCMSU exists, in order to serve your child or grandchild when they're at the college or university with solid Lutheran resources, Lutheran congregations, and Lutheran pastors. You can find out more about LCMSU, lcms.org/LCMSU. That's lcms.org/LCMSU. Ted, let's talk about the Zealots. They really like the Zealots. I guess Zealots make good action, don't they?
Yeah, they're definitely more action-oriented bunch of guys. Yeah, and they do like the Zealots. There's an interesting moment with this would-be assassin Boaz, who basically goes out to see the Christians in this field that Scripture says Barnabas actually sells it and gives the money over to the church. But in this case, he just gives them the land, and they're all gathered out there. And Boaz, he goes out there because he knows that they can forgive sins out there, these Christians, these believers in Jesus. He doesn't recognize Jesus' name from Scripture. He says that he recognizes Joshua, Solomon, and King David, and he says that David and the rest of them were all warriors, but he doesn't recognize Jesus. And he quotes to Peter from Psalm, I think it was 144, that he quotes to him. So, you know, and that is, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war. So these are the zealots. They're reading the Old Testament and they're reading the scriptures, but they want to unburden the people from the foreigners who are in the land, the Romans.
The book of Acts obviously is also a tale of baptism. Baptism procedure follows the Holy Spirit through the entire book there. It is one that begins with baptisms. It is one that continues on through everywhere. You're finding, you know, baptism among all of the missionary work of the apostles. You mentioned something about, you know, the 3,000 baptism kind of getting omitted or alluded to. Is baptism remaining a thread in the story at all?
They kind of come back around to that. So what you get is your introduction to Stephen is him being baptized by Thomas. And Thomas, when he baptizes him in a way that sounds familiar to the ear. You know, as he baptizes him, he says, "Do you repent of your sins?" And Stephen says, "I do." And then Thomas says, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross and rose again on the third day?" And he says, "I do." Then Thomas says, "Then in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you." And then he does a full immersion baptism with him. So a couple things. This isn't happening in Jerusalem. It's happening outside town, which Scripture doesn't really say that that's the case. But we do have Matthew 28 sneaking back in now in the baptismal formula that's being used, which is kind of nice to see. So that's a positive thing, and it does sound the way that, like, most of us get baptized today in a kind of truncated way, but there it is. And it has the key important stuff in it that you absolutely need, the command of Christ. We didn't really get to see that the way they had the ascension, but you do get the words that he would have said had that been in the second episode, I guess. But you know what I mean? Like, now we have those words there, which we are familiar with, and that's positive. So, you know, we do have some baptism there, and I imagine that we're going to get more of it. I hope we do, like, in the weeks to come. We're just a third of the, or, you know, one-third of the way through this miniseries.
The preaching, you've talked about this before, and last time you even said, you know, one of the big weaknesses of episode 3 was the truncated or absence of preaching, which is, Book of Acts is also in a lot of ways a record of the first sermons preached by the apostles.
Mm-hmm. I'd mentioned, there's that moment where it's so clearly stated who Jesus is and what Jesus is about, and Jesus's place, that, you know, like, when Peter doesn't say those words, that is a major miss. Curiously, in the midst of all of that, there is kind of like a good little moment, and it doesn't come in the sermon, which you'd expect or you'd want, that proclamation of the truth in that way. But what they do is they have, when Peter and John are before Caiaphas, they bring in the man, the lame beggar, who now is no longer lame, and he's been basically paid off to, like, quote-unquote, help the temple. And when he's questioned about the whole thing, and the what's presented to him is, you were never really lame. You just found that saying that you were lame was a way of making good money as a beggar. And right, that's what it was with you, right? And these guys just paid you to make it look like they healed you. When it's put to this now no longer lame beggar, there is this great moment, and again, this is speculative, and it's not recorded this way in Scripture, but it's a good moment in this show. He says, "I'm a poor man. My whole life has been spent begging here. I am beholden to the temple. Under the eyes of God, I will tell the truth. I was born lame. I never walked a step in my life. There was no trickery, no deception. I praise God for this man, Peter, and the one they call Jesus of Nazareth. I praise God for healing me." So that is a really good moment that's there, and it actually supports the scriptural text. So that's a moment where the speculation that's added in serves the text of Scripture in a positive way, but it doesn't always happen that way in this miniseries.
There's one little word here that I wanted you to talk about finally that you note in your notes on this that is that I don't only find it annoying, I find it alarming, to be honest. Although many Christians have become accustomed to referring to the Holy Spirit as an impersonal thing, an it. And it happens in the fourth episode, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit is referred to as it.
Yeah, and it's referred that way by somebody to Peter. Like this Ananias, he says, I think it's him and his wife, Sapphira. They say that. And, okay, so maybe they say that. But then you'd expect Peter to turn immediately around and say, no, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he, right? Because that's the way Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. So Peter should be saying what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't happen. Like, Peter doesn't correct them. And like, I'm listening to that, and I'm like, oh, hey, look at that. That's not good. And that's a contradiction to Scripture. And actually, I received an email even from a fellow who noted the same thing. This Patrick sent me an email and noted that. And that is alarming. And this is where they get, it's a misrepresentation of the Trinity from Scripture. And that's a real problem for me, as it is for you.
Real quickly, about 30 seconds. If you introduce enough alternate storylines, characters that aren't there, don't you run the risk of, by the time you're done with the miniseries, not having it really be about the Book of Acts any longer at all, because you've got so many extra people kind of traipsing across the stage, so to speak?
I think what you're going to get is that it's going to be half about the Book of Acts. I'm still really hopeful for this Cornelius character, that he's going to end up being the Cornelius of Acts chapter 10, and that a lot of this other stuff is there in order to tell his story, to give background to his story. Now, it's all speculative background in that case, because he's introduced to us without any background, like within the text of Scripture. But I think that might be what they're doing. But really, what you're getting is half this speculative fictional narrative and half the actual account of Scripture.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, it's always a pleasure, and thank you so much for your time. We'll talk with you next week.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We do a regular series with him, and it's proved rather fruitful for understanding what is often misunderstood, responding to evangelical proof text. We're going to take up a passage from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about when he's coming again, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, etc. And Jesus responds, I never knew you. Now, some might read that to say that to believe in Jesus, to call upon his name, that's just the beginning. You have to really know him. You have to really have a relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, in order to be saved. We'll take that up with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller right after this. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's amazing to me that one of the greatest life, in fact, the greatest life ever lived, that of Jesus of Nazareth, has come under attack for being non-historical.
Dr. Paul Meyer talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
If we use all the rules of historical research, we find that Jesus passes all those tests perfectly, and that indeed there is easy documentation that I can give to every Christian to prove that, yes, there was a historical Jesus of Nazareth beyond all debate.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paul Meyer making the case for the historical Jesus Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is located 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.